See everyone this morning. It's certainly good to be here, and we have several who are visiting with us this morning. My sister and two of her dear friends, as well as mine, Sheila and Hannah Ullman, they're traveling down to the Gatlinburg area for a week and stopped by to spend yesterday evening with us, and we'll be heading on down there after lunch this afternoon. Also, Roman Raber and Yuri Beiler are with us this morning. They're from the Fredericktown Church of Christ up in Ohio, where I preached for 20 years. They've become members there since I've left, but I've gotten to know them and very much endeared to them. They left Fredericktown area this morning about 2 o'clock. I forgot that they gain an hour coming this way. They could have left at 3. But anyway, so they were here an hour early for Bible study. But they are on their way down to Texas. Roman owns a construction business, and he and Yuri are going down to Texas to help Christians there to do some building and get some of their things back together. So very much appreciate them for that. They donated their time this summer to work in the kitchen at Camp Noah. And so I very much appreciate them for that. Sheila and Hannah are both counselors at Camp Noah as well. So got a lot of dear friends with us this morning. Of course, Matt and Renee and Evelina and Annalise are with us this morning, too. It's always good to have them with us. Certainly, the hurricanes of last week and the hurricane this week is on the minds of everyone. I'm not sure if you mentioned it. Tomorrow at Kmart at 10 o'clock, the trailers will be there again. I'm told that PAX's big trailer is only half full, even as a result of what we did this past, is that Thursday? This has been a busy week. And then up in Ohio County yesterday, it's only half full. So if there are things that Jonathan mentioned this morning that you would like to contribute to that cause, either be at the Kmart. He was there from 10 to 1:30 Thursday. He'll probably be there at least that long tomorrow. If you can't make it to that and you'd like to bring it tonight, go ahead and bring it tonight and we'll see that it gets out there. Let's all help with that as much as we can. But with all these things on our mind, I couldn't help but think of a lesson that I did many years ago. I think it's been about 5 years ago that we entitled Shelter. It's actually taken from Psalm 61. Psalm 61 reads, "Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. You will prolong the king's life, his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So I will sing to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." Obviously, King David here is in a period of life that he is in distress. And yet in the midst of that stress, he realizes that he has a shelter in Almighty God. I want us to notice here that he says, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Of course, as we are considering these hurricanes and the damage that is done by the storm surges and so forth that come on shore, we realize that the high ground is the place to be. And so you can picture in your mind what was also in the mind of David as he wrote this. Of course, David is speaking in terms of what we might experience in the storms of our life and how we might find shelter in such storms, but also the emotional storms of our life that we face, that we can't depend upon our own strength, but we depend upon a strength that is much mightier than ours, in Almighty God, in whom there is no weakness at all, that rock that is higher than ourselves. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. As you think about this, he's in the tower from the enemy, the place that is least accessible by the enemy. He abides in the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God. You can't be in a better place than to be in the dwelling place of God and be in fellowship with Him. And then he says, I will trust in the shelter of your wings. I want to talk this morning about this subject of shelter. In Romans 2 and verses 11 through 12, the story of Ruth, we read, did I say Romans? Wow. In Ruth chapter 2, verses 11 through 12, we find that Boaz says to Ruth, it has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord will repay your work, and fully reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. When I first presented this lesson, I was impressed by how many passages refer to the shelter of God in the figure of the wings of God, and finding shelter under the wings of God. Even Boaz here refers to the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. You know, we, as you've been seeing the pictures out of Florida and so forth, that those who are did not evacuate stayed in place, but are looking for also the refuges that are being provided. A place of safety. That's the idea of a refuge. Psalm 17 and verses 6 through 8, it says, I have called upon you, for you will hear me. O God, incline your ear to me, and hear my speech. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand. O you who save those who trust in you, from those who rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. And then Psalm 57 and the first three verses. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me. For my soul trusts in you. In the shadow of your wings, I will take my refuge until the calamities have passed. I will cry out to the God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up. Now, I might just say here, we have included in our reading here, Sheila, and you probably have that in your Bibles as well, but that, you're not to pronounce that. It's just that means rest. Okay, so contemplate, stop, meditate on what you've just read, and then continue to read. And God shall send forth mercy and His truth. God shall send forth His mercy and His truth. You begin to see here in Psalm, even here in Psalm 57, in the shadow of your wings, I will take my refuge. Well, what are the wings of God? And I submit to you that the wings of God are His mercy and His truth. That if you abide in His truth, that you have access to His wisdom and His mercy. And as such, we find that we can take refuge in our times of trouble, whatever trouble it may be, whatever darkness may come upon us, we find refuge in knowing that we are in fellowship with God, abiding in His tabernacle of truth and having access to His mercy. Even in the Ark of the Covenant, you'll notice here in Exodus 25 and verse 20, the cherubim shall stretch out their wings, covering the mercy seat with their wings. And they shall face one another, and the faces of the cherubim be toward the mercy seat. Even this is a picture of a shelter, a protecting, a covering, if you will, and a respecting of the mercy, certainly, of God. And what was inside that Ark of the Covenant? The covenant, yes. The truth of God's law given to the children of Israel. As we continue in Psalm 61, verse 5 says, "For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name." Does God hear our prayers? Yes, He does. David says, "God, you have heard my vows. You have heard my pleadings to you, the vows that I have made to you, my dedication to you, my commitment to you, to honor you, to live for you, to do your will. You have heard my vows," and that will not go unanswered. In Psalm 63, in the first 8 verses, he says, "O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." His dependence is upon God, and our dependence is upon God, and our trust in the refuge that we find in His truth and mercy. Psalm 63, in the first 8 verses, says, in verse 2, it says, "I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. In the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close to you. My right hand, your right hand, upholds me." God hears His prayers. God hears His meditations. God hears our prayers and our meditations, our concerns. And we realize and trust that we abide in the shadow of His wings. We continue here in Psalm 68. As he continues to talk about, "O God, you have heard my vows," he says, verse 6, he says, "You will prolong the king's life, his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. I will sing to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." And so he says, "I have made my vows to you, and I trust that I will be able to keep my vows to you because I abide in the shelter of your wings." And even here, you see, in Psalm 61, these principles of mercy and truth are likened unto those wings of God, that we abide in His truth and therefore have access to His mercy, and we can then have peace in His presence. Can we keep our vows to God as a Christian? What do we vow to God when we become a Christian? We say, I want to be a Christian. Well, what is a Christian? A Christian is a follower of Christ. Are you following Christ? You know, you don't become a Christian just to have your sins washed away. You become a Christian to change your life. To be as God created you to be from the beginning. To live to the praise of His glory by trusting and obeying Him. Can you keep those vows? Shake your heads this way. Yes. How? By abiding in His truth and depending on His mercy. Say, well, I don't always keep my vows. There's sin in my life. I mess up. Well, do you repent and confess those sins to God? What did God say about that? He said, well, if you repent and confess, I'm still going to hold that sin against you because you didn't keep your vow. No, I'll forget it. And you need to forget it and move on and realize that you abide in the truth of God. You abide in the mercy of God. We're going to forget. Don't look back. You're not going that way. Keep looking forward. Keep looking to God. That's what David is saying here. Because I abide in your mercy and truth, I am preserved, and I realize I can keep my vows. I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Psalm 91, I think, expresses these points as well. He says, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. In what sense is it secret? It's secret because you can't find it by yourself. You can't feel after God and find Him. You can't say, I feel God in my heart. A lot of people say that. But then when you get to talking about them, you realize that, well, this person's feeling something different than this person over here. Is that the way God is? Is God different or is He the same? Is that the way truth is? Is 2 plus 2, 4 to one person and 1.8 to somebody else? You say, well, that doesn't add up. No, it doesn't. It's not supposed to. But somebody might feel that it does. That doesn't make it right, does it? You see, you can't trust your feelings. You have to trust the truth of God's Word. People think they're saved. They feel they're saved. They're depending on their feelings when they need to depend upon what God has revealed. Is it a secret place? Well, in the sense that you can't find it apart from the truth, yes, it is secret. But it's available to everyone. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Not your feelings, not your emotions. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. There's going to be destruction laying waste at noonday in Florida. And again this evening. And on into tonight. You will not be afraid of that terror. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near to you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You say, now wait a minute. That's what Satan quoted to Jesus in that temptation, the first temptation of Jesus. Yeah, it is. But is this just talking about Jesus? No, it's talking about all who put their trust in God. Anyone who finds shelter in God. Anyone who is dwelling in God shares in this. He gives his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon me. Now God is responding. God is responding to the one who has placed his trust in God, who dwells in the shelter of God, who depends upon God's truth and God's mercy to guide them through life. God is responding because he has set his love for me. He doesn't love himself. He's not living for self anymore. This individual has learned to love, to live for others, with the primary other being God. Not my will, but thine be done. Because he has set his love on me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Did God do that for his son, Jesus of Nazareth? Yes, he did. And he'll do that for all who love him more than they love their own life and trust in his truth and therefore abide in his mercy. You know, as I think about these things, I can't help but think of the Sermon on the Mount. And how Jesus ended the Sermon on the Mount. You know, he had many things to say. But this is how he concluded the sermon. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Everyone who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will be in heaven. Notice as you come down to verse 24, he says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it did not fall because it was founded on a rock. You know, I heard this morning that in Tampa Bay, there's a museum to the artist Salvador Dali, and it is built to withstand a Category 5 earthquake or hurricane. The reporter said, you can stand inside and look out the glass windows and just watch a category earthquake and it'll be fine. Well, I hope so. I hope so. But that's what this is saying. Category 5 hurricane? No, this is category 5 million hurricane. You trust in what God says, what His Word says. You obey Him. You are founded on a rock. Nothing is going to destroy you. You abide in the shelter of Almighty God. Everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does not do them shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was the fall thereof. What are you building your life upon? Are you trusting in Almighty God? Do you abide in the shelter of God's truth and mercy? Jesus said to those Jews who believed on Him, "If you abide in My Word, you are My disciples indeed." What if they didn't abide in His Word? Could they say, "We're your disciples"? No, He said, "If you abide in My Word, you are My disciples. And if you abide in My Word, you shall know the truth. And if you know the truth will make you free." Psalm 32 and verse 10 says, "Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him." Trust Him. Obey Him. Abide in the shelter of His wings. Galatians 6 and verse 16 says, "Those who walk by this rule, mercy and peace be upon them and upon the Israel of God." What is that rule? Well, it's the rule of truth. Those who abide in the truth of God abide in His mercy. Throughout the Bible, we find this shelter. Are you abiding in the shelter of God's wings of truth and mercy? Do you hear these words of God and do them? Nothing can destroy you. Nothing can touch you. Bible in another place talks about no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You're indestructible because you abide under the wings of God. Do you abide in those wings? Do you know His Word, but you're not doing them? You know, we've been hearing the warnings out of Florida. You know, evacuate, take shelter, move to higher ground, move to a stronger structure. Would you do that? Or would you say, "Well, I kind of like my beach house here"? I've seen hurricanes before. I've seen winds before. I think we'll be okay. Are you going to stay on the beach? Or are you going to take shelter? Jesus said He's coming again in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who do not obey Him. Are you abiding in His Word? Are you finding shelter in Him, trusting Him and obeying Him? Or are you just going to abide on the shifting sands of your emotions and your feelings and just go with the flow of life? The warning has been given. Couldn't be given any stronger than our Lord and Savior gave it. The warning, if you will, or the invitation, has been, "Come unto Me, all you are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There's shelter here. There's protection here. There's fulfillment of life here with Me. Will you come to Him? Turn from your sin to live for Him? Obey Him? Obey Him this morning. Turn to Him. Be baptized for the remission of your sins and walk with Him in newness of life. Abide in His Word. Be His true disciple. Know the truth and be free from your sin. If you're here today and you're a child of God and you find that you're out of favor with Him and you need to make things right with Him, confess your faults to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, would you please come as we stand and sing this song?